We're going to spend the next few minutes just thinking about that first Christmas, because you might be aware that this year, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are in danger. They're in danger of being superseded by Sam, Monty, and Mabel. I wonder if you know who I'm talking about. If you haven't already seen it, here is the John Lewis advert. They are the stars of it. Give someone the Christmas they've been dreaming of. Do you know, as soon as I saw that advert, I thought, what I need is a Monty and Mabel penguin. And so I went online, and I couldn't believe it. They'd sold out. I was hoping to have my Monty and Mabel penguin here tonight. Christmas is ruined in our household. How do you have the perfect Christmas now? How do you get the sort of joy that Monty had at Christmas? Well, John Lewis's answer seems to be that if you buy someone the perfect gift, it will change everything. It will meet all their longings, all their hopes, all their desires, and they will finally be happy. Is that true? Can the perfect gift bring true love, true joy? Well, I think when we stop and think about it, we probably know that actually you can't buy the sort of joy that we see in that advert. We see through to the reality that it's actually just two stuffed toys. We know that even when we buy the perfect gift, when we make the perfect meal, it doesn't actually equal the perfect Christmas. No matter how much you spend, there are still disappointments, arguments, illnesses, breakages, and in our home, that's just before breakfast. And it leads me to a question. Why does the advert work? Why do companies spend millions on telling us something we know isn't true? Why is it that every year we make ourselves so busy, so stretched, you know, so burnt out, so in debt, in pursuit of this perfect Christmas? Are we all pursuing something that is impossible? Are we all asking kind of too much? Is joy possible? Well, to answer that question, I think we need to go back to that first Christmas and listen again to the words of the angel that were read in all those different languages. It's an extraordinary scene on a hillside outside a little town called Bethlehem in the Middle East. An angel suddenly shows up to a group of shepherds and says this: "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The angel's message focuses on joy. I wonder if you find that surprising. Maybe joy is the last thing that kind of comes to your mind when you think about Christianity or when you think about God. Maybe words like seriousness, self-denial, maybe reverence, but joy? Well, according to the angel, there is an offer here, not just of a bit of joy, but great joy. Huge joy. You see, the angel's view is not that we want too much at Christmas. It's that we're in danger of settling for too little. We're settling for make-believe relationships and presents that go out of date and break when there is real joy, real relationship, good news of great joy available. So who is this joy for? And if you ever wondered why God sent his angel and this message to a group of shepherds, rather than announce it to kings and palaces of the day. You know, to be a shepherd at that time was one of the lowest positions in society. They were on a 24/7 shift pattern. Perhaps you thought your shift pattern was bad. I mean, they were poor. They had very little. Why to them? Well, one of the reasons is that of all the people who would hear this message, they were the most likely, perhaps, to say, "This isn't for me. I don't have anything." To kind of discount themselves, say, "I can't possibly have this joy. I don't have anything." And that is precisely the point, because they don't have anything, but it's for them. And if you're here tonight and you feel a bit like those shepherds, you feel like you just don't have anything, well, this message is especially for you. But notice, it's not just an offer of joy for the shepherds or for the poor. It says it's for all the people. And that's quite a claim. To offer joy on kind of this scale for this many people, that's a much bigger claim than even the John Lewis advert. You know, I think, to be honest, we're so used to being disappointed by kind of failed promises of adverts that we can be cynical of an offer of joy like this. If true joy is actually possible, why do so few people have it? Joy is so elusive, isn't it? It's kind of hard to get, even kind of harder to hold on to. You kind of blink and it's gone. So vulnerable. Why is joy so hard to get? Have any of you ever thought about that? Well, the Bible says the problem is that we're trying to get it in the wrong way. We're trying to kind of find it in the wrong places. You see, the Bible says that happiness is actually the byproduct of searching for something bigger and greater than happiness. For searching for something else. The irony is, if you make your life goal joy, if you make that your goal, the irony is you won't get it. This account begins with the shepherds being terrified, having nothing, but it ends with them full of joy. What happens? Well, let me just read what happens next. Verse 11 says this. Today, this is what the angel says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, it's normal for a birth to bring joy, isn't it? But why does this birth bring joy? Not just for a few people, but for all people. Well, the clue's in what the angel says to the shepherd. This child is given all these different names, Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, and many others. I don't know if you know that actually Jesus is given more than 100 names and titles. It's a lot, isn't it? I don't know if anyone here has got any more than that. But the angel describes what is happening as a sign. He says it's a sign to you. And to the people of the time, that would have triggered a memory of something that someone wrote hundreds of years before. Do you know, sometimes people think that the Christmas story, well, perhaps this Christmas story was kind of made up, you know, some years after some events that happened. Not realizing that actually if you research it, you can discover most of the Christmas story was written even before any of it happened. Now, it's quite something to have books written about you while you're alive or maybe after you've died. It's a whole other thing to have whole books written about you before you've even lived. That's what happens with Jesus. I encourage you to look into that. The prophet Isaiah wrote this around 701 BC. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I mean, this is amazing. God with us. This Jesus, this child that was born, is none other than God in the flesh. God come to bring an end to the brokenness and pain of this world. You see, the joy of Christmas is that God has come into this world and God can actually come into your life. It's amazing. Do you know, this is why Christmas is such a joy for me. Because I need a God who's near. I don't know about you, but you know, a God who's distant doesn't help me. I need a God who comes near to me, who can help me with the pain and trouble of this world, of which there is much. And Christmas declares God is no longer distant, but God is near and wants to be near. He is called Emmanuel, God with us. This is why this is a message of joy. And I want to notice just finally one thing about the angel's message to the shepherd. You see, it wasn't simply, let me tell you some good news, be happy. Actually, notice it was actually an invitation. It's an invitation of joy. The shepherds are invited to go and meet this one who's been promised. it's only actually when they encounter Jesus for themselves that they receive this joy. It wasn't enough for them just to hear something. They needed to meet with this God child. And the same is kind of true for us here tonight. You know, we can sing carols, and it's wonderful. We can hear these amazing promises in the Bible. But actually, it's only if we ourselves meet Jesus, this one who died and rose again, who's alive now, it's only as we meet him that we will receive this joy. How do we do that? Well, we can learn from the shepherds. Do you know they're not told to clean themselves up? They're not told to pretend they're something they're not, pretend everything's perfect. They're to come as they are. You don't need to pretend you're in a John Lewis advert. No, Christmas and its message of joy is for people who recognize that this world and their lives are not perfect. It's for people who recognize they've messed up, people who realize they need a savior, a rescuer. Do you know, the shepherds on that first Christmas, they had nothing. They couldn't buy the perfect gifts. They couldn't pay. But ultimately, someone has paid for the perfect gift. Ultimately, Jesus paid by giving his life for us so that we could know God. How do we get this life, this joy? Well, back to Monty and Mabel. You know, the key point of that advert is that it's a relationship that brings joy, isn't it? The penguin Monty needed his soulmate, Mabel. And this is why the advert works. It's because it taps into a truth that we're actually all aware of. And it's we've been made for relationships. And the relationship we've been most perfectly made for is a relationship with God. And Christmas is all about God coming to restore that relationship with his people. That is where true joy can be found. Rediscovering the one who made us. You know, rather than saying that Christmas time everyone is expecting too much and should just lower their expectations, the Christmas story declares we're so often settling for too little. We're settling for kind of little snippets of joy, little drips of joy when there's this kind of river of joy flowing past us. This joy of knowing God. Do you know, if you want to know that joy for yourself, you really can. You really can meet with Jesus. And one of the ways you can do that is by praying and asking Jesus to come and meet with you. And if you want to, you can use the words that are going to be up on the screen right now. These are the words of a carol we've just sung. And I'm going to read them. And if you want to read them with me, then I encourage you to read it out loud and invite this Jesus, this God, to be near you, with you, this Christmas time. So just let's just be still for a moment. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, I expect many of us will be doing that. Let's pray these words together. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. I hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to me, abide with me, our Lord Emmanuel. And Lord God, I just pray for each one of us who prayed that prayer. Lord, that each of us would know the amazing joy of God with us, Emmanuel. This Christmas time, come and draw near, we pray. In the name of Jesus, Amen.